Coming up on RCN Sports Talk, we'll talk fantasy football and give you the best tips on organizing your winning team ahead of this year's NFL season. We'll preview EPC and Colonial League football with our players and teams to watch, predictions, and the area's top preseason high school football poll, plus interviews with local high school football coaches and players on the upcoming season. These and more topics, plus your chance to win tonight's prize on today's edition of RCN Sports Talk.
Good evening and welcome, everyone. I'm Chris Michael. We're so glad you could join us this evening. A lot of topics to cover on the next 60-minute edition of RCN Sports Talk. So let's introduce our in-studio panel. And they will also be the stars once again this fall of our Friday night Sports Talk Football Friday show, Mr. Dennis Lobb and the one and only Mr. Joseph Linwood Craig. Gentlemen, welcome to this show and welcome in advance of the Friday night football show that will be starting up in a week and a half from now.
Looking forward to it. I'm just glad to be back. It's a year-by-year thing. We don't know.
Yeah, we never know, what's going to happen.
What kind of disgruntled people out there. But, I mean, it's a fun time.
We don't know who we really ticked off the year before. So.
It's a good time, and it's just it's something for the whole Valley that they're so passionate about high school football, and that a local sport like that would generate that much attention in this area. It's mind-boggling. It really is.
It is a blast. I mean, you know, we're doing. I don't know. I was trying to remember how many years it's been now. I know we started, Chris, you and I started this show
10 years ago,
almost 11 years ago, and Dennis and I have been together now for what, six, I guess.
I believe it's four, five, six.
It's just been a thrill. It's such fun. It's a fun show to do. And the crew we have is they're great guys and girls. And it's just, I look forward
ladies.
To it. It's best time of the year, ladies, yeah. Best time of the year. It really is.
Well, as long as you continue to buy Paul Lewis dinner, the show will be back. And you guys will be in the hosting
sheet
the next
couple
years.
They're happy. You're absolutely right.
All right, let's get to our tip-off question tonight. We're also going to have a special guest on the phone lines coming up in just a little bit. But our tip-off question does involve high school football, as we'll be talking a lot of high school football tonight. Should the PIAA adjust its preseason football practice schedule? They made some changes this year. They added a heat acclimation week to get the players ready to play in the hot temperatures. And through no fault of their own, it kind of backfired, as it turned out to be the coolest temperature-wise week of the summer. But Dennis, your thoughts on the preseason practice schedule, the addition of the heat acclimation week, and the outline of how the practice schedule is set up for football?
Well, you're talking to a guy that played in the 80s, and, you know, as far as any kind of heat acclimation, that it just doesn't make sense. Football back then compared to what it is now, obviously the stakes are so much different. These guys are out there doing these quote-unquote organized team activities all year round. I mean, it's going on in the spring. They have spring, unofficial spring football, and into the summer. So they didn't need this heat acclimation period at all, the way I see it. They have more than enough football. They should have just went right into the season.
And there's restrictions during this heat acclimation, like there's no contact and so forth. So even though it was not a big temperature-wise, it was not a very hot week, they couldn't do contact drills. And then the next week, when it was hotter out, they could have contact, which kind of would have been in reverse. You've been snickering here this whole time this question's out there. What's on your mind here? Let's hear it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I agree with Dennis. I mean, you want to talk about ridiculousness. That's ridiculous. And I don't know what they're thinking. I truly don't know what the PIAA and people that made that kind of a situation, I don't know what they're thinking. You know, at one time, if you ever did need it, it was back, Dennis, when you played, and even back in the early 60s and late 50s when I played. I mean, the first week of practice was always run, and get in shape. That's what you did, because you didn't play football 12 months a year.
Yeah,
from the 1st of November to the mid-August, it wasn't football. You didn't even lift weights back in those days. So if ever there was a need for having some acclimation to the heat and getting in condition, it was back in those days. Nowadays, oh, you got to be kidding me. I drove by stadiums this year in June and July, and there were teams on the field running plays.
Yes.
So why in the name of God do you have to have heat acclimation practices? You know, pretty soon, let's just forget about all the other sports. King football, which I love, forget everything else. We'll just go 12 months a year. Kids won't be kids. Let's forget about them being kids. We don't need them to have free time to go to the pool. We don't need them to play basketball or to wrestle. We don't need any of that. We'll just give them weights and running programs and wear your helmets. And we'll have a week where you just got to get used to your chin strap. Let's do that. You know, we'll get them out there in June so we can get them used to wearing a helmet. I mean, it's ridiculous. And I'll tell you what. And I understand the emphasis on worrying about heat stroke and all that kind of stuff that everybody's concerned about and all the concussion worries. And I understand all that. I'm a parent, too, and a grandparent. But, you know, a little common sense here. And to me, it's overkill, and it's just not necessary. I really believe that.
All right. Well, this is our high school football preview show.
That's Joe's take.
No. Yeah. Can we abandon that one now?
No, I got another one for Joe's take.
Oh, I can't wait. All right. Let's take a look at the unveiling of the high school football big school poll for the 2015 Lehigh Valley high school football season. And as far as how we pick the teams and so forth and who votes and how they get the votes and so forth, that's all on the website that you can check out at rcn.com/rcntv. And for my money's worth, I think it's the most comprehensive poll that we have out there for high school football. But coming in as our preseason poll, number one, Parkland, an undisputed champ with our 10 pollsters. They received 50 votes, all the first place votes. So no hesitation about picking Parkland as the team to beat here in 2015. Easton and Freedom both tied at number two with 28 points with our 10 pollsters. And then Liberty was fourth with 16 votes. Whitehall fifth with 11 votes. And I'm going to start with a team that's not even on that list.
I know who it is.
The Emmaus Green Hornets. They got a very good quarterback transferred in. They had their entire offensive line coming back. They had a ton of speed last year on the JV team that started to make their way to the varsity. All those speedsters are coming back. And I know Andrew Davidson was a great defensive player who graduated, but they have some nice defensive players coming back. So is Emmaus falling under the radar, and why aren't they getting more attention in the preseason? Joe, we'll start with you.
Well, I had Emmaus in my top five, and I didn't have Whitehall in the top five. And I mostly did that because, and I didn't have Emmaus fifth either. I had Liberty fifth, and I had Emmaus fourth. But I know Emmaus has got a lot of kids returning. They have an outstanding tight end. He's a 6'5 kid, 220-some pounds, and he's a great athlete. And I understand he's – and I don't know his name. I do know of him. And I know that Emmaus is going to be pretty good. On the other end of the stick, Parkland's no question. I mean, they're three steps above everybody. I picked Freedom over Easton. I picked Freedom at two, Easton at three. Freedom has more returning kids. Easton, I picked third. It's Easton. And you know they're going to reload with an undefeated JV team.
I'm going to get to Easton and Parkland in a minute. Dennis, I want to ask you about Emmaus, though.
Oh, okay. Emmaus, until Randy Cuthbert comes to me and says, I have a plan of attack and I'm going to throw the ball, I watched them go against 10 in the box, and I still didn't see much imagination out of his offense. And until I see it, till I see a quarterback for Emmaus like I did with Joe Bottolari that had the ability to throw the football, and I get it, they have a good quarterback there, what have you, but he's still that Philadelphia suburban type mentality that I have a line. I'm going to run. And until I see that, I did not put them in my top five, but I put Stroudsburg in my top five, and I didn't put Whitehall in my top five.
A lot of anti-Whitehall sentiment here.
Well, 21 out of 22 starters are now
remember
gone.
A couple years ago, Whitehall had this young offensive line, and everyone was saying, oh, they don't have any offensive line, they don't have the horses, they're going to struggle this year. Well, they struggled for about a week and a half. And Joe, you even had to admit that their footwork, their fundamentals were excellent. They had you could tell they were well taught. And even though they had a young offensive line, they did well. I'm expecting that this year as well. I think those young guys are going to mature very quickly.
Look, when you lose a Shaquan Barkley and the other kid in there, Buskirk, I mean, when you lose those kind of guys, you're going to take a step back. I mean, there just aren't a lot of Shaquan Barkleys around. Correct. And Buskirk, is he the last of the Buskirks?
Until they
is there another one? There's more coming. Okay. Well, you know, I mean, when you lose those kind of guys, and they lost a ton of other quality linemen, I think they're going to struggle a little bit. But that's not this. Look, Gilbert's a great coach, and he's shown me that he knows how to coach. So I think Whitehall, before it's over, will be a factor in the league. I believe that because I think he coaches well. He's got a great staff, and they do an excellent job. But it's going to be, we're talking about a first poll here. And I think that's why I did not have Whitehall in there. But the other five, I had them around a little differently than you saw them on the screen. But Parkland by far in the number one spot.
All right, I'm going to ask you about Parkland. And Dave Micah from EasternPAFootball.com, he has done a ton of research on high schools across the state.
Yes.
He's going to be here in 2 weeks, and he has some great insights he's going to be giving us. So I don't want to steal his thunder. He'll be on in 2 weeks from tonight. But your thoughts on Parkland, and not just how good they're going to be in the Lehigh Valley, can they make a deep run in the state playoffs this year? Dennis, we'll start with you. Your thoughts on the Trojans.
It's always going to be rough for one of our teams to make that deep run. I think this year, because there's such an overwhelming favorite, that what is going to give them the competition for those 10 weeks, and then all of a sudden they're going to go into a state-caliber playoff. And the way things, yes. And instead of having that public league team that they had in the beginning, the George Washingtons of the world, now they're playing a Catholic League team right from start who has played a tougher regular season schedule. I just think this wouldn't be the year for Parkland. To get there. And again, I'm going to put it all on the fact that Devontae Cross is not going to have to throw the ball much for 10 games. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have some nice leads throughout the year. Now all of a sudden you're going to go against a Philadelphia Catholic League team who's going to have some really big physical linemen that aren't going to allow that running attack, and you're going to put it on Devontae Cross.
Different.
We'll see.
Well, there's another factor with Devontae Cross. Devontae Cross made huge strides last year as a quarterback. Yeah. Who coached him? Jim Terwilliger coached him. Mm-hmm. Now, Jim Terwilliger, if anybody knows anything about football in the Valley, knows he is a quarterback guru.
Right.
He's no longer there. He was there 1 year, took Cross, and made him a heck of a quarterback. Now he's gone. He joined the East Stroudsburg University staff. He's going to coach the defensive backs, I believe. Well, my question is, who's going to keep tutoring Devontae Cross as the quarterback? And I'm not saying the guy, whoever it is. I don't even know who it is on the Parkland staff.
You don't think he's going to take a step back?
No. But to keep improving. Look, it's all a matter of constantly getting better. Mm-hmm. Now, Devontae Cross came from this table being the low point. He got about up to halfway up here. Now he's got to make a couple more steps. I don't know if that's there now. So I'll be interested to see how it happens. The other factor with Parkland, I think, is he's got Yeboah to throw to, but they lost some key defensive people, and they lost some pretty good linemen.
Linebackers.
And linebackers, yeah, absolutely. So there are some holes to fill. One of the advantages I think they have this year is, and this is strictly my opinion about the league, I don't think the league's nearly as strong overall as it was a year ago. There's no Easton super team there this year. You know, there's no Shaquan Barkley to have to deal with. So in a sense, the league is not going to be what it was a year ago, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And I think all of those things play into Parkland maybe having a little more trouble than a lot of people think. That's really? Not the
same. You don't think they'll go undefeated?
I didn't say that. I said it's one thing to win your games 21-14 and go undefeated, mm-hmm. and then win 38-0 and go undefeated. I'm just saying that it's not going to be all pushovers, because they're losing some people, and the league's down a little bit. And then when they get into the playoffs, what do they got to do? They got to face St. Joe's Prep or LaSalle. You know, it's another level. And I'd love to see them do it, because I want to see the Lehigh Valley have a team get all the way to the state final. I think it's very difficult now. Liberty did it a couple years. Parkland did it. Wilson did it. But they didn't have to go through District 12, as we know District 12 now. We used to be George Washington High School or somebody like that. It's a little different now.
All right. Before we move on and talk about the rest of the 4A schools this segment, it's time for our trivia question tonight. And tonight's question does deal with high school football in the Lehigh Valley. And our question is, which school has the most 1,000-yard single-season receivers? Which school has the most 1,000-yard single-season receivers? And here's more information on how and what you can win. All right, I will tell you how you can win. You can call. The callers get priority by dialing 1-844-234-4488. You can also play via the email at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. Although callers do get priority, and tonight's prize is a $10 VOD certificate, which you can use for movies, special events, pay-per-view programming, and so much more. So the question again, which school has the most 1,000-yard single-season receivers? And it is a... No, I'm not going to say it. I won't say that. All right, Easton and Freedom, they were number two in our poll. I'll start with the Rovers, because they always lose talent to graduation, but they lost some special guys this year. However, Trey Dura, I thought, really impressed me. Right there with Cross, I thought he grew by leaps and bounds last year. I think he's going to do a great job taking over as a quarterback, and Nazir Mini-Gratz, I'm told, can fly. So if they can get any kind of openings for this guy, they're going to have a solid running game, and you know they'll have blockers. So how do you see Easton making that transition away from Shane Simpson and company to the next era? And can they maintain that high level? Dennis, we'll start with you.
I think Trey Dura's development last year was tied a lot to people worrying about Shane Simpson. Mm-hmm. And not taking anything away from Trey Dura. He did have a nice year, but now it's on him. Mm-hmm. The line that they had last year was unreal. You lose your two anchors, your two tackles, and Fleming, you know, playing center. So they may take a step back, but like you said, Joe, Easton is Easton. They're still going to be strong. It's going to be really good, though, when they play the Freedoms and the Liberties. And we'd always would unanimously pick Easton. No. You're going to pick Easton. We're going to pick Easton every week. The only time we may not pick them is when they're playing Parkland. This year, there's some thoughts. Well, we may, you know, pick the Freedoms and the Liberties. And that's what I'm really looking forward to in this league. You know?
Joe, you might.
When you say it, when you take a step back, you're talking seven wins?
Look, let's get something straight. If what? Easton has a bad year, they get six wins.
Yes.
That's a bad year.
Six or seven.
Well, yeah. Someone's saying if they get two losses, that's a bad year.
But
that's,
well, the point being, you know, they are a quality program. They are. I'll say this even more than Parkland. They are the quality program in the Lehigh Valley. Even more than Parkland. Why? Because they've done it for a longer period of time. Talk to me about Parkland 10 years from now. This continues, then I'll conclude. I'll say maybe Parkland. But right now, Easton's the premier program in the Lehigh Valley over time. And, yeah, they lost a lot of people. And you're right, they lost those Fleming and a couple other linemen. And they lost that great linebacking core. But you know what? Sailor, or not Sailor, I forget who the middle linebacker was. But I got news for you. Their JVs were undefeated. Their freshmen were undefeated.
EJ Roeder.
Roeder. Yeah. They reload. And when you combine the fact that the league is not as strong, that converts to me, Easton having probably seven wins, maybe even eight. So that's the way I see Easton. And Trey Dura, he came along, but I agree with you, Dennis. The running game can make your quarterback look awful good.
You two are agreeing with each other way too
much.
Oh,
well, don't worry.
Starting the 11th, that'll stop.
We may have to make a change. Is it too late to make a change?
Absolutely.
The other team that was number two in our poll, tied with them, Freedom. Joe Young is back at quarterback. They did lose some special players, especially on the offensive line. But defensively, I don't think their defense last year got nearly as much attention as it deserved, especially their game against Whitehall. I thought they played an outstanding game. Most of those guys are back this year. So if they play as well as they did last year, yes. Joe Young is healthy. Well, all reports he is. Do they have an even better season this
year? They lost their best two defensive players. They lost the other Young, and they lost Callahan. Callahan was a bull. He was all over the field. And if you watched Freedom defensively, he was in on almost every play, as was Young. So they lost some key people. It's going to be hard for them to repeat that kind of a year. Do I think that they're going to have a good year? Yeah, I think they're going to win at least 6-7 games. But again, I got to refer to the strength of the league. Let me tell you, there's some teams. I'm not going to mention any names, but there are some teams that really aren't going to be too hard to beat for some of these guys. And I think that's going to be a factor. But I expect Freedom will be in the top three. I expect them to make district playoffs.
Yeah, Cordell Cotto is a special player. He's been playing for, this will be his third year playing, and he's a big stud, and their entire defensive line is back.
Yep.
And a sophomore last year who made an impact, probably because of Young and Callahan, but Hornbaker, Brady Hornbaker.
Pieberg
outstanding, year. Yep. So he's back, and they are, Roeder is doing the job there. He's been there. They know what they're going to get with him. And he's been, building this thing up. I think it's beyond the days of when I did a couple games with you, Chris, and it would be like Freedom would start out 4-5-0 and then just falter.
Three or four in a row.
I think those days are behind them, and I think they're really building, and they're building into a consistent program.
All right, before we go to the break,
has to stay healthy. If he doesn't stay healthy, then they got some problems.
Yes.
All right, real quick, other thoughts on the 4A teams. Liberty, Doug Ernie, he seems like he's been around forever. He's now a senior. I think this is a big year for Doug and some of the other people there at Liberty. So your thoughts on the Hurricanes and the rest of the 4A schools.
I saw them Saturday. I went over and watched their scrimmage with Williamsport, and they handled Williamsport. It was embarrassing. Williamsport, I don't know how bad they are, how good they are, but Liberty looked really good. And Ernie looked really good. Personally, I think he's one of the top two quarterbacks in the league this year, but because he can do it all. But again, I don't know how their offensive and defensive fronts are going to be. That's been traditionally a problem in the last 4 or 5 years. But they're going to make some waves. They lost a lot of skilled people, but they have some guys that can really run and catch the ball and run with the ball. Again, they're kind of like Easton in a sense. Seems like every year they get some skilled people, they just reload with skilled people, and they've got them coming out of their ears. So I think they're going to be all right. I think Ernie's going to be a big factor. But I expect probably a six-win year for them.
And they got more speed this year.
Not as much speed as they had last year.
Really?
They had the fastest team in the league last year.
They had some burner wide receivers.
They had the fastest. They had more skilled people.
Yeah, but I think
people.
They want to push the tempo a little
bit. Let me
I
tell
think
you
they
something,
move,
Chris.
Move
a year ago, they had the most skilled people in the league on that team.
But they had a defense that couldn't tackle.
Just couldn't tackle.
And their line play is very inconsistent. I put Stroudsburg ahead of Whitehall.
Mm-hmm.
Whitehall handled Stroudsburg by all accounts.
That's what I heard.
So, who knows there? And Stroudsburg's supposed to be the talk of the whole Mountain Division, other than who we have coming up to talk about later in the 3A level. But, Liberty, get back to Liberty, your initial question. And I know offensively they're going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
What is their defense going to
exactly.
show me?
All right, we're going to talk more high school football in just a few minutes. We also have that trivia question out there. Which school has the most 1,000-yard single-season receivers? The answer might surprise you.
You guys are agreeing and complimenting me.
What is in the water? What is in the water? You always say it. People will never get this.
No, this is one because it's so far off of what you would think.
All right. So we're going to take a break. Coming up after this timeout, we are going to have a special guest on the phone lines to talk fantasy football and then more high school football playoff preview talk coming up on this edition of RCN Sports Talk.
This is the RCN Sports Talk podcast. Interact with us by sending us your sports comments, questions, and opinions right now or anytime via email to rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. And we may read and respond to your emails on an upcoming program. That's rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. You can also call the show directly by dialing 1-844-234-4488 when the show airs live on Thursday evenings, starting at 7 p.m. on RCN TV. The number again is 1-844-234-4488 between 7 and 7:55 p.m. on Thursdays. Stay tuned. The RCN Sports Talk podcast resumes in 60 seconds.
You are listening to the RCN Sports Talk podcast. Send us a comment or question, or to participate in the program, email us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. And we might read and respond on an upcoming episode. If you catch the show live, you can call us at 1-844-234-4488 on Thursday evenings between 7 and 8 p.m. Stay tuned for more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, our high school football preview show, our annual program, and we're going to get back to the high school football talk in just a few minutes. We'll also have some emails coming in, so we'll get to those in short order. But right now, joining us on the phone line, Tom Braun of FantasySharks.com orchestrates a great fantasy football. We're going to chat with him and get some strategies about putting together the ultimate fantasy football team. Tom, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Chris, thanks for having me on. I didn't know you'd have the dynamic duo with you tonight, but it's my pleasure this evening.
We're not hearing him out here, so we hope he's going through to our audience.
Question is he going on the air?
Yeah. Hello, Chris.
There you are, Tom. Good to hear you.
How are you doing, Chris?
I must have said, I didn't know I was going to be on with the dynamic duo, so it's my pleasure to be on
Batman
tonight.
Batman and Robin, here we are.
Now, you got it.
We call him some other things, too.
But. Remember, Tom, you're going to be on here in another capacity in a couple of weeks, so be careful what you say to us.
I'm in control of the sound there, too, so there you go.
All right. So, first of all, I want to ask you about Fantasy Sharks, which is done in conjunction with USA Today. Tell us a little bit about that.
FantasySharks.com, Chris, I've had the pleasure of being associated with them for about 7-8 years now. They partner with USA Today Sports Digital Properties. It is a source for your fantasy football fans out there to go and get free information. Now, of course, many fantasy football websites out there do have paid subscriptions. This is one where, sure, they have paid amounts of information that you can get, but quite a bit of it is free out there. If you're looking for a draft day cheat sheet, they got it. If you're looking for tiered players for your more advanced leagues, more advanced fantasy football players, you can get some ideas. They actually also have a lineup generator from week to week. If you want to know who you should start, who you should sit, you can put it in, and they will generate your best lineup for you. So lots of good resources at FantasySharks.com.
All right, let's start at the beginning, too. How do you put the league together? How do you get started in the league, and then how does the league get set up?
Well, there's more than one way, of course. You know, in your most basic form, it's as simple as get 8 to 12 guys together, some of your friends. Throw all the NFL players in a pool, and you pick the skill positions. Mm-hmm. You pick a quarterback. You pick two running backs, a couple receivers, tight ends, kickers, defense, special teams. And what you do is each week you go head-to-head against your players that you have picked from your team against your friends, just like you would on an NFL schedule. And there are many players who they put friendly wagers on it. It's a lot of trash talking between the two. But really what it makes it is, you know, I personally am an Eagles fan. It gives you a reason to watch that San Diego-Oakland game and root for players or root against a certain team. It really gets you interested in the whole NFL, not just your hometown favorite team.
Well, you know, that's one of the problems that I ran into when I did fantasy baseball is that I would try to speak and pick teams with my head. And then,
right.
You know, I had to pick some dreaded New York Met players, which
sure.
as a Phillies fan growing up was tough for me to do. So I found myself rooting for the Mets at some point. So I guess that's a battle you have to find when you're in a fantasy league is this, you know, kind of separating the passion that you have for your hometown team with making smart decisions with your drafting.
Chris, it brings me like that. That's part of a strategy of when you are actually in a league and you start your drafting, which, you know, some of your listeners out there, they know this. This is the most fun time of year for fantasy football, the drafting of your team. There are whole restaurants and pubs in the Lehigh Valley that invite you and your friends to come out. They want to be there for your draft day, per se, and you just have a ball with you and your buddies eating wings and drafting your players. And what you said right there, I have five strategies for starters tonight, yeah. People just getting into it, and you named one of them. Don't fall in love with guys on a particular team. You hit it on the head.
Yeah, Tom, let me ask you this question. I'm not familiar. I don't play on any fantasy football programs or anything like that. But as a guy who's not involved in our viewers out there who are not involved in it, when you have your draft and you pick players, what do you find is the first positions that are most picked? Is it quarterback or is it running back or what?
You would have to go, if for a beginner out there, there's a lot of strategies. For regular fantasy football when you're drafting a team, the first thing to pick is running backs. Running backs are one of those positions out there where it's not a one running back league, you know, where Franco Harris is getting the ball every other down.
Right.
There are many teams. Look at the Philadelphia Eagles. You're going to have DeMarco Murray, or you know Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles are going to get the ball too. So it's hard to find running backs who are going to be the sole possession getting the ball. So when a lot of people in your fantasy football leagues, if you have 10 guys in a league, rest assured probably the first 10 picks are going to be, seven of them are going to be running backs for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So running backs is probably, that's one of the first things to do. Go running back all the way to start things off.
All right.
Hey, Tom, since you're an Eagles fan, a dumb Eagles fan like me, let's talk about the NFC East.
Sure.
Washington Redskins, their quarterback situation. If you're picking, of course, you really wouldn't want to pick one of those quarterbacks too high, but which one would you take? Griffith or Cousins?
If I had to take a Washington running back, or sorry, a Washington quarterback, I guess you take. See, you've stumped me there because just I wouldn't do it. I guess I would take Cousins, but to be honest with you, you will never get that far in a typical fantasy football league. You won't go through all the teams in the league. Most teams will carry two, so in a 10-team league, you have 20 quarterbacks. That's 12 starting quarterbacks that won't even get picked because you're picking a starter from, you know, a more high-powered right. offensive team and a second one that may that you're hoping will do well. But I would imagine in most leagues nobody's taken any Washington quarterbacks. Good question, Dennis.
Any love for Victor Cruz over Beckham from the Giants, or would you go Beckham?
If I was to pick a Giants receiver, I'd go Beckham. He's got more of the upside, and it comes off. You're talking about a player coming off of an injury. That's always a tough sell, at least for me. People feel different ways about it. Look at Sam Bradford. There are going to be people licking their chops to take him, but again, it's a player coming back off of injury. That's hard. In fantasy football, you try and go for the most sure thing possible.
That a guy like DeMarcus Murray for running back for the Eagles, he's going to be highly picked.
Probably. Oh, he'll be highly picked. You know, a lot of fantasy sharks is a good example. They'll tier the running backs, and when I say that, you know, a guy like Le'Veon Bell and Eddie Lacy, they're going to be way at the top of everybody's list. C.J. Anderson, Adrian Peterson, Jamal Charles, they're a step behind them, but they'll get picked as well. Guy like DeMarco Murray, believe it or not, like on FantasySharks.com, he's ranked ninth out of, you know, in the running back situation on where you might want to pick him. And what it means by that is there's other guys in that little cluster who they feel are just as valuable to a team. But DeMarco Murray, you know, he's not going to get as many carries as he did last year. There's going to be a drop-off there. Well, Ryan Matthews is going to get some, too, when you're talking fantasy football numbers.
Yeah, part of that, I think, thinking, a lot of people think the Eagles are going to be a throwing team, but in reality, I think their head coach is a running coach. I think he likes to run the football. So, to me, DeMarco Murray would be a pretty solid pick.
From a fantasy football perspective, I'd have to say there are definitely some better options. Mm-hmm. But he's a starting running back for someone in a fantasy football league.
Interesting.
Our special guest this segment is Tom Braun from FantasySharks.com in conjunction with USA Today. A couple of questions before we let you go. Sleeper picks. That's always interesting, and I heard from some people that this kind of makes or breaks the success you have in fantasy football. You can pick the big stars, but it's that sleeper pick, that kind of under-the-radar pick that helps put you over the top. What sleeper names are out there?
At FantasySharks.com, we have a saying, and it says there's two types of fantasy football owners, sharks and chum, and which are you? Your sleeper pick will make you a shark. Now, I'm going to give you a couple sleeper picks, Chris, and this is the one thing that always will grab some people's attention. Players at home or people at home, take note. Two players from one team I like as sleeper picks, and you're going to think, who's this guy? Don't forget, you're thinking of a guy no one's going to be looking at, and you're going to get in your 10th and 11th round that people aren't thinking of. Let me throw a name at you. Teddy Bridgewater. The reason I say that, as last year, he had nobody around him, and he did okay. Now with Adrian Peterson back, they got Mike Wallace, a guy like him, and another sleeper pick, Charles Johnson. I think the Vikings, their offense is going to go under the radar. I'm not saying they're going to win a ton of games, but their offense is going to score points, and there are two players right there that will do very well. You know, we mentioned earlier about running backs and sharing the load at some of these teams. Another one that has probably people aren't trusting because of how it's gone the last couple years for him, a guy, Lamar Miller. There is nobody behind him. He is going to be the every down back in Miami. And when you're talking lots of touches, you're talking lots of points when it comes to fantasy football. There's a guy I would definitely think of. And also, let's take a guy close to home. Nelson Agholor. How do you not take this guy who takes a Mark Sanchez pass way off target, catches it, scampers around into the end zone? Both preseason games have been very good for him. He's shown some signs of promise as a sleeper pick. A lot of people don't like to draft rookies, but he's one I'd be willing to take a risk with.
All right, before we let you go, I'm going to throw you a huge curveball because I guarantee you've never had this question asked of you. As a fantasy football selector and a draftee, how do you address Deflategate? Do you make a run at Tom Brady knowing he could miss some games at the beginning of the year? How do you handle Deflategate?
There's a common thing, believe it or not, in fantasy football, and they call it a handcuff. What a lot of people will do is if there's somebody like that they really want and they don't want to give up, they'll draft the backup because they know the backup's going to start. So I guess if you really were in love with Tom Brady, first of all, there are other quarterbacks to pick. I would not take Jimmy Garoppolo, but if you really, really wanted to, there you go. You grab the handcuff, and no matter who's playing for New England, you got to worry about the bye week, but you're going to have the New England quarterback.
All right. Well, Tom, thanks for joining us. Tom Braun from FantasySharks.com, and Tom's going to join us a couple times during the football season to give you in-season advice on putting together the ultimate fantasy football team. Tom, thanks
Chris,
for joining
thank
us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being there. If I could say one more thing, it would be is know your opponents on draft day, people. You can always capitalize on what they're trying to draft next. Have a good one, Chris.
All right.
Thanks, Tom. Good advice from Tom Braun, FantasyShark.com. All right, time for Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down tonight, and this is where our panelists recognize someone in the sports world and gives them a shout-out for doing something extraordinarily well, or give someone a thumbs down for doing something not so fun. I'm going to be a homer today. I'm going to play an in-house card and give a shout-out to RCN. I just found out about this. I'm going to give a shout-out and a thumbs up. Same thing. Shout-out to RCN of Chicago because the NFL draft, you've heard of that, right, Joe?
Yes, I know.
The NFL draft was in Chicago. The wiring, the internet, the video feed, the phones, all done RCN of Chicago. And they did not only such a phenomenal job here in 2015, the NFL has invited them to do it again 2016. So a shout out to RCN.
Definitely a national company.
Absolutely. Huge honor. All right, Joe?
My thumbs down to the Washington Nationals. Are you kidding me? That baseball team, everybody had them written in as National League East. Are you kidding me? What are they? How many, I don't know how many games they're behind the Mets right now, but good Lord, thumbs down. Talk about underperforming.
Yeah. All right, Dennis, thumbs up or thumbs down for you?
I'll give a quick thumbs up to RCN for bringing back our show. you know, I have my daughter Morgan with me tonight, and there's some local people. She was in a soccer tournament this weekend to honor the memory of Sage Stauffer. And the amount of teams that were over in Catasauqua from age 8 to age 14 playing in this soccer tournament, it's a benefit soccer tournament for Sage, who died unexpectedly at the age of 12 in an accident. But the people that run that tournament, boy, do they have their act together, and boy, can you generate revenue. And that he was from Catasauqua, so that town really just came together for this, for in memory of this boy. So thumbs up to them.
We're going to continue our high school football previews right now. And Alyssa Scheckler here at RCN has been doing an outstanding job the last week going out to some of the local high schools during the double sessions and getting some interviews with some of the local coaches. Here's part one of two segments tonight featuring some local high school football coaches previewing their seasons.
Kids are working hard. They're doing great things. They're learning a new system, both offense and defensively. But the kids are really resilient. They're out here running around. They're getting acclimated to the heat, and they're working hard. A couple of returning starters from last year. We got Cam Strohe, running back, linebacker. Austin Jones, offensive line, defensive line. Jesse Long, offensive line, defensive line. All three of those guys are going to be key players for us this year. We're getting better each day, and that's kind of our goal. We're trying to teach alignment, assignment. We got a multiple scheme going on both sides of the ball, and the kids are learning it. It's new for them, but they're excited about it, and we're excited about it for coaches. And we're coaching them up, and they're loving it.
The kids coming back that were here at Notre Dame, you know, on the line, Stackhouse, Edgardo Fiera, Cody Georges, you know, some of the names of the kids that have played for me for 3 years here, Mitch Daniels, Nick Bassanese, Austin Carius, Timmy Constantino. I have 11 or so football players that came down from Pius along with Coach. Now I walk in with Trey Jordan, who's just an outstanding young man, and Aaron Weller, Destin Woody, you know, Shippers at center, Dee Bardenas. These kids coming from different spots, Johnny Moran, Jalen Simpson. I mean, these are just names. You know, I'm getting to meet a lot of these kids too, because a lot of them just started here, you know, in school-wise in June. Some transferred in right before the end of school, you know, and it's been great getting to know these kids, you know, over this period of summer. Now, this wasn't about schools merging. This is about two groups of kids. That's all this is about, coming together to be one. I wanted the young men and the coaching staff, because I've taken on some of the coaches, to know they got a home here. I care about them, I want them here. And the whole purpose behind this shirt was, it's about our team. It has nothing to do with the schools and the buildings. It has to do with the team.
This is the RCN Sports Talk Podcast. Interact with us by sending us your sports comments, questions, and opinions right now or anytime via email to rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. And we may read and respond to your emails on an upcoming program. That's rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. Give and get sports opinions by visiting our sports blogs at rcn.com/rcntv, where you can also get updates on sports news and features on teams in the RCN coverage area. Stay tuned. The RCN Sports Talk podcast resumes in 60 seconds. podcast continues in just seconds. Don't forget, you can send us your feedback and sports comments and questions at any time by emailing us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. Or speak with us directly on air during the program's live airing on RCN TV starting at 7 p.m. on Thursday evenings at 1-844-234-4488. Now, here's more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. You can tell we're getting ready for high school football because Joe is in rare form complaining about everything.
I'm ready.
Me,
I'm ready.
The sets, the lights.
The
schedule.
I didn't say anything about the
by
lights.
By the way, we had that trivia question out there. Joe said it's a good one that no one's going to get the answer to this one, which most of the time people at home can prove this, prove him wrong. Question again, which school has the most 1,000-yard single-season receivers in the school's history?
Great question.
Still looking for a correct answer for that. All the guesses so far are incorrect. Mm-hmm. And speaking of the emails and Twitter, we have a couple comments for our guests. First of all, Jim from Richmond would like to know
picks. Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah, last time I checked.
Right? Okay. Yeah, there's only one Richmond, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. Well,
Richmond, Virginia. Okay, go ahead.
Can I read the question?
Yes.
What do you guys think the 1-4 spots will be in the NFC East? I would guess, and I know you guys are Eagles homers, so you're going to have Eagles winning 12 games this year. Eagles, Giants, Cowboys, Skins will be improved, maybe 6 wins.
No way.
You're picking the Cowboys third.
Yeah.
They're not even close to 6.
Let me check your temperature.
Are
you okay?
Go ahead, answer the question. Come on.
Unfortunately, Jim, the Redskins are only going to get 3 or 4 wins possibly this year. They're not a very good team this year, so they're definitely in fourth.
They got 6.
Giants are going to be better than what they should be. They may get 8 or 9. They're going to be in third, and the Cowboys and, of course, the Eagles got to win the division.
All right, Joe?
I pick it just like he does, and the only reason the only reason the Giants are having
what,
a problem.
Are you going to go out for dinner after this show? Come on.
The only reason the Giants are going to have a problem. They've got the best receiving core in the league, but the reason they're going to have a problem is their offensive line is just not up to snuff, and Eli's going to have a tough time getting free to throw the ball.
All right, one more email I got to get to before we move on here because he's ripping Joe Craig here. Right. Jack, No Town Given says, isn't Brett Comp the new quarterback coach at Parkland? Didn't he have some pretty good quarterbacks
absolutely.
At Wilson?
Brett Comp absolutely has some great quarterbacks at Wilson, and he's an outstanding coach. And it's as and all of anybody who's coach knows that a lot of it has to do with comfort and many other factors. And I'm just saying that the guy who really, really brought Devon Cross a long way was Terwilliger. And it's not to say that Brett might not do a great job. He may. And if he does, watch out for Cross. He'll really be good.
Wonder if he's calling the plays.
I don't know.
Being a quarterback coach. Or is
and
Lane,
he's an outstanding. Brett's a great coach.
Is
I know
Lane
that.
Calling the
absolutely.
Plays.
All right. In just a minute, we're going to be taking a look at the small school poll. But first, part two of our high school football preview interviews with some local high school football coaches, focusing on some of the other teams in the Lehigh Valley area.
This is the stuff we shouldn't be having.
And give themselves a chance to finish in the end. I want us to go in every game and make it a fight. I think we're starting to turn the corner. I think we're finally going to do some things right. But they have to learn how to win. They have to realize in order to win, we have to fight, and we've got to go till the end. We're not going to win with just half an effort. Offensively, we are a lot further this year than we were last year. We put our new offense in last year, so this year we've moved a lot faster with it because now the kids have learned a little better, and we've got a lot more in it, and it looks pretty good. They're working hard. It looks well.
We have a good senior class, good junior class, so we've been happy with our progression. We had a good week last week with the heat practices. You know, unfortunately, they didn't prepare us, and I don't think too many teams for this week. It's been hot, but, you know, our kids are battling through it. We return seven starters offensively, seven starters defensively, so we're looking for improvement. Again, now last year we're real heavy with one tailback, Nate Farber. We feel our strength right now is the fact that we have a strong offensive line, we have two solid tight ends, a veteran quarterback, and we feel that we have three tailbacks that could be starting tailbacks. So our job is to make sure that we get them the ball. Our job is to make sure that we're a little more balanced than we were last year. Defensively, like I said, we have seven returning starters. We feel that we have a strong defense. We feel our secondary is going to be much improved, and our front four are going to be strong. So, you know, just finding a couple guys to fill in.
Our expectations, as it is every year, is to focus on the game ahead of us that week and get better every week. So whatever things we may have struggled with in the previous week, hopefully we correct those and just continue to progress and get better every week as we head towards the end of the season and look toward the playoffs. Both offensively and defensively, right now we're pretty comfortable with where we're at, where we think we should be. Moving forward, we just got to tighten the screws and shore up some things on both sides of the ball, eliminate some of the basic mistakes that we've been making. But overall, we're making the progress that we feel we need to make. We return quite a few top players. Probably Tavon Weber, our quarterback, and free safety is one of the top returning players as far as an offensive leader. With that, we also have Devin Irwin and Shane Whitman returning. Our offensive line all has experience with Brett Sontag as a four-year player. Alex Nicholas is a four-year player for us. So we're pretty experienced across the board because our players, they understand the expectations. He understands how we'd like things run, and we're getting through the work that we need to get through. So they've been going very positively.
You are listening to the RCN Sports Talk podcast. Send us a comment or question, or to participate in the program, email us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com, and we might read and respond on an upcoming episode. You can also send us possible show topics and future guest suggestions by emailing chris.michael@rcn.net. If you catch the show live, you can call us at 1-844-234-4488 on Thursday evenings between 7 and 8 p.m. That number again, 1-844-234-4488. Stay tuned for more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast. To the RCN Sports Talk podcast. Send us a comment or question, or to participate in the program, email us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com, and we might read and respond on an upcoming episode. If you catch the show live, you can call us at 1-844-234-4488 on Thursday evenings between 7 and 8 p.m. Stay tuned for more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast.
No correct answers for our trivia question during our live show, so we turn it over to the emailers, people listening to us on our podcast or watching us on video on demand or watching our replay, you can now email the correct answer to rcnsportstalk@rcn.com to win the $10 on-demand movie special events and video on demand certificate. The question again, which school has the most 1,000-yard single-season receivers in its school history? Which school has the most 1,000-yard single-season receivers? Email us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. We'll take all the correct answers and draw one a name at random on our next in-studio show, which will be 2 weeks from today here on RCN Sports Talk. All right, time to take a look at our small school poll. And again, details about how we arrive at our poll, who votes, and so forth, available at our website, rcn.com/rcntv. And taking a look at the small schools, male enrollment of 400 or less finds Bethlehem Catholic in first place with 43 votes. 8 of our 9 pollsters gave them the first place nod. Saucon Valley second with 36 points, 1 first place vote. And then third, Northern Lehigh with 20 votes. Fourth, Central Catholic with 11. And then in fifth place, Northwestern with 10 votes. Joe and Dennis, your thoughts on our small school poll?
Definitely ahead to top two that way. I did snub the Colonial League and go with Central Catholic. I feel they're going to be improved.
Yeah, tough schedule, them, though. Parkland, Whitehall, the first two of the first 3 weeks, and then Easton shortly thereafter.
But I feel they're going to sneak their way in there and be in the top three. Did not have Northwestern. I'm expecting something for some reason out of Pinardville this year.
I think they're good surprise. They're due for a bounce
Pinardville
back.
Is going to come back, and I think Notre Dame with the influx of the pious people and the Trey Jordan, I think they're gonna find a way to sneak in there somehow.
Joe, final 60 seconds.
I got just what you had up there. The only difference I had is I had Northwestern 4, Central Catholic 5, based on the fact that Central's got such a killer schedule to start out. But I think Notre Dame is the one school that I didn't mention that I think has a shot at cracking the top five, because they have, but they're an unknown. I want to see how these kids from Pius X that are going to play a big role for Central or for Notre Dame. I want to see how they come in now and play up against a little bit better competition than they're used to seeing. Trey Jordan's a fine quarterback with the people he played against. Let's see how he does when he's got to face Northwestern and Southern Lehigh and Saucon Valley and some of them. That's what I want to see. That'll be one of the important things.
Do you agree as far as Colonial League, Saucon Valley is, though, the team to beat?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And no question in my mind.
Absolutely. Thatcher and Culver.
Culver.
Wow. Yeah. That's quite a combination there and some of their linemen.
And defensively, going to be very tough.
Yeah. And it's a little bit different because the last few years you had one or two teams. This year I think there's a whole bunch of teams.
One thing in Colonial League, though, I think real fast is watch Palisades. And only because they've been getting better every year.
All right, we're out of time. My thanks to Dennis and Joe. Be sure to tune in for them on Friday nights coming up this fall. And we'll be back in studio after our fair shows next week. Good night, everyone.